anthologies. Love to hate them, and dying to get this one over and done with. This episode, we're discussing Love, Death, and Robots Volume 1. Definitely some heads up for this episode. The topic of conversation revolves around violence towards women, and there are some graphic descriptions. But also, we're like big mad here, so that's funny to listen to as well.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing Volume 1 of the 2019 animated collection anthology Love, Death, and Robots, created by Tim Miller on Netflix. So, Volume 1...
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Volume 1 has, I believe, 18? Yes, 18 episodes in it. There is no particular order to them since they're all standalone stories. And in fact, I learned this, Netflix actually randomizes the order it presents them to you in. So like there's no like canonical like this is your introductory episode that kind of teaches you like what this is supposed to be. And then no, it's all just a random assortment and everyone experiences them in a different order. And part of me wonders if that like affects people because... I'm trying to think how to put this. I have got such
opinions.
How do you
opinions. Put this nicely?
I have such opinions on this. It's like, there's some really good ones, some
there's
fun
some
ones.
There's some really, really good ones.
Okay.
And then the others are really, really not.
Let's start with, like, what ones do you really enjoy?
Three Robots was fun.
Yeah, I don't think it does anything too special. Like, it's just, like, a goof, I guess. So the story of it is there's three robots who are in a post-apocalyptic, humans are extinct, and then they find a cat, and then it turns out the cats are super intelligent, and they're the reason that they caused human extinction, and now they want the robots to pet them forever.
Yeah, it's like, so, okay, I think first of all, it's important to, like, state that the art is wonderful. I really like the art styles of every single short, almost, I think.
Yeah.
There are a couple ones where it's like, it's fine, whatever, you know, nothing special. But for a lot of them, these episodes are beautiful. Visually, yeah. The artistic directions they took, like, I don't know, it's just pretty to look at. It's yes. Really cool. And I think that's, like, what I like most about this. It's the art.
Yeah.
Fish Nights was excellent.
Fish Nights was beautiful.
What else was there? Ice Age was one of interesting.
18. Okay, Ice Age was just a Simpsons episode. The Simpsons have done that.
I haven't watched Simpsons, so I can't. Okay. To me, it was refreshing. But yeah, you know, like, there's nothing special about it.
I just thought it was funny because, I don't know, John DiMaggio has been on The Simpsons, and also he was in it.
Okay, gotcha. A lot of it I have... So...
Save There's, the good stuff for stuff.
I know, I know. You see no, me struggling, right?
No.
Okay, okay. Good stuff first. I think that's it. I don't know. What am I missing anything?
Okay, well, we're going to go through, I guess we'll just go episode by episode and talk about what we like and didn't like, since you apparently don't remember them.
Well, I'm mostly focusing on the episodes that I have a lot of opinions about. Like, okay. I don't care about the yogurt episode.
Okay, well, right? Let's start with the non-controversial ones and then work our way towards the controversial
ones. Gotcha, okay.
So we're going to start with Fish Night, which is there's two, like, sales guys that get stuck in the desert. Their car breaks down and the older man is like, yeah, this used to be an ocean. And then at night, they're seeing, like, all these ghosts of, like, the marine life. And the young sales guy gets too carried away and gets devoured by a shark. Which is really just kind of a dumb story, but, like, it's very beautifully animated.
Yeah.
I like it. Like, it's telling this kind of interesting conceit of, like, ghosts are always, like, human beings. But why can't there be ghost animals from millions of years ago? And... Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's self-contained. It tells a little interesting story in like the 10 minutes that that's runtime. And I think that's a really good episode.
It's really good. I really liked it. Helping Hand is decent. I have nothing against Helping Hand. Okay. It's just like a cool little story.
So this one is about a woman who has to like... Okay, so she...
She basically like gets stuck in space and starts drifting. And she has to find a way to get back to her ship because they're drifting apart.
Yep. And how does she do that?
She throws her glove, right? To create momentum. Was that what she does?
What? Okay.
It wasn't a glove. I'm an idiot.
I'm going to pop quiz you right now.
Yeah.
So she cuts off her arm and throws it. Why does that work in space?
Well, first, she throws the glove.
Yes.
But then she misses.
Right.
So then...
Then she cuts off her arm. She
breaks off her arm. Let's be real. She breaks off that arm and throws it. Why?
Yes. What?
Because there's no air in space. You need to create motion. Opposite. It's like when the... Okay. The pendulum, when those, like, you know, the fun ball toy that, like, hits each other and the other one, like...
Okay, what law of motion is acting
in that situation? I can't read.
Come on, it's Newton's third law, dude. Newton's third law.
I don't know math.
Equal and opposite reaction. Exactly.
God. I don't know what number that is.
You didn't get those drilled into you in high school? I did.
I didn't pay attention in high school.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, that one's fine. And then it ends on, like, a hand pun, which is, like, okay. But I feel like that one establishes, I mean, I guess the woman is doing violence to herself, but it does establish the ongoing theme of these, which is going to be a lot of violence against women.
So much violence against women. It's, okay, so in all of my years on Tumblr, I had very few strong opinions.
Yes.
You know, I don't say anything to anyone. Right. But when I watched this first season, when it first came out, I was livid. I was so upset because, you know, at first I thought maybe like, oh, this one. Okay, whatever. One out of 18 is yucky.
So which one was it out of curiosity? Do you remember?
I think it was The Witness.
Which one is the?
That's the one where the woman is running.
Yes, that one is. Oh, God.
Yeah. So that one, I was like, oh my God, that is disgusting. Let me try the other ones, right? Because for me, the first episode I've ever watched was a robots one. That was the first one for me. And then like with each progressive episode, so many of them were just so like needlessly violent towards women.
Yeah.
And like there's violence against dudes too, but it's never as much as towards women or in the ways described or shown as it is towards women. Like, it was nasty. I felt like, I think I watched all of it in one sitting, and afterwards, I was just, like, sick to my stomach. And that never happens when I watch movies or TV shows or whatever. Like, I was legitimately just, like, for the rest of the day, just disturbed.
Yeah. There is... I was aghast. Like, I had watched... When it first came out, I watched the ones that I was interested in or had heard good things about. And I guess I hadn't watched some of them because they weren't all that interesting to me. Yeah, there is a lot of violence against women in these. And it's almost... Sorry, Justice is...
Hi, Justice.
Justice, could you not climb on the keyboard and clack everything? Thank you. So there's just so much... Like, I feel like it's used almost as a shorthand. In to be like, these women have tough lives. We need to show that. We only have a 15-minute, you know, little animated short. So the best way to do it is to show, you know, that they had a violent past or people are being violent against them. And that's the way we show that these women have difficult lives. But then, like, that was my first theory. But then I was like, no, a lot of them are graphically depicting the violence against them. So, like... At a certain point, it almost feels, and some of it is almost like, dare I say, pornographic in nature.
A lot of it is.
It's so gratuitously ultra-violent.
Yes.
Like, I watched Sunny's Edge,
Of course, as one does when they are gay.
Yes, in this one, Sunny is a woman who competes in these, like, kaiju battles. And it's basically like boxing, but you control a monster. And Sunny gets asked to take a dive, and she refuses. And then the mafioso guy comes afterwards, has his mistress seduce Sunny, and then he jumps out and kills her, like, blows up her head.
Like, she does it. The woman does it.
Oh, yes, the woman does it.
So he doesn't get his hands dirty at all. So it's just woman-on-woman violence, while one of them pretended to be queer and helpless. And then, like, afterwards, violently stomped on her face until Sunny supposedly expired, which she didn't. But, like, it's such nasty choices. Like, they had to have had several writers sitting there and, like, talking about it and deciding this. And then they all had to agree to it. Like, I don't understand it.
It's really gross.
And then afterwards, when Sunny actually kills her, it goes through her face, too.
Right.
So, like, very graphically, violently killing this other woman. And we don't see what happens to the guy, right? Nothing on screen actually happens to him.
No.
And that seems to be the case for a couple of episodes. First of all, Good Hunting is another one that was just, like, there's so much in there that, ugh.
Yeah, that one was, oh, God.
We had one woman violently killed.
Yeah, the mom.
And then we had another one on screen tortured.
Yes. And, I mean, implied sexual assault and...
Oh, a bunch of it. A lot of it.
Yes.
There's another one that I want to talk about later. It's a little tamer, but it still has, like, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But another one that just, like, bothered me so much was the one with the Russian army. What is the Secret War?
Yeah.
With the Red Army, right?
Yeah.
First of all, there's only one woman in that, and she's shown for like half a second. But
I don't even remember who she was.
Because she's a corpse splayed open for everyone to see, like tied up, and her womb cut open.
Oh, jeez. Oh, and they very graphically zoom in for the ritual.
Yeah, and they very graphically zoom in on the cut open area and like showing her pelvic area, and it's just like they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Every single other person in that episode, it's winter, right? Because everything about Russia is done in winter.
Yes.
And like
Russia has one season.
We only have one season there. And the only female character, I mean, they showed other women, but they were like dead people in the village that weren't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they were just there. But like out of people that they focused on, the only woman they focused on was a corpse who was sacrificed, whom they visually splayed open and showed for like a very, very long moment.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about this show. It's just like, I feel like there's no sensitivity viewers or readers or whatever whatsoever.
Oh, not even any close to that. They didn't care about anything that they were doing. I mean, like, okay, clearly what was done here, I mean, it's an anthology and they're giving various animation studios the like opportunity to kind of show their work. I mean, it does seem like a lot of the scripts were written or adapted by one man,
Philip Gellert.
Yes, with some exceptions.
But I think he like, did most of them.
But like, yeah, but it looks like almost everyone was done by a different animation group.
Yeah,
and I think they're just, well, one, I think there wasn't a lot of coordination, and two, I think just, like, no one thought about the fact that, like, literally half these have, like, a very graphic depictions of violence against women. I mean, there's some very graphic depictions of violence against men, like in the werewolf
but
one.
They're but, not sexually assaulted or right, implied to have been.
Right,
and
exactly.
Like, even though there's a lot of male nudity in it as well, it's never sexualized. It's more of like, oh, we get to animate a naked guy and this is what naked guys look like.
Yes.
And a lot of the time it's actually used as like a joke.
Yes.
Which is, you know, whatever. Like it's, there's so little full frontal male nudity in any media that it's not even like an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. We'll go through the rest of them. So we talked about Sunny's Edge, we talked about Three Robots, The Witness, another one like about like violence against women. The woman is for whatever reason mostly naked for a lot of it. I don't know.
And she's being chased by a man.
Yes, she's being chased by a man. It's implied that she, not implied, it's shown that he is going to kill her. And they're trapped in this loop where they're killing each other. But I don't know. It just seems unequal on some level.
Because first of all, at some point he goes into like a gentleman's club or something and gets a lap dance or something.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of female nudity there too that's very sexual.
And he's pretty covered up.
He's covered up. And then like she's in a flimsy robe with like it falling off of her. She's running for her life. And
yeah.
It just feels bad and gross. I don't know.
Okay, I'm just gonna keep going one by one. There's suits, which was fine. It's about like farmers who have to protect themselves against invading aliens.
Yeah, that one I liked because they're like the dudes fighting, and then like their wives are also badass, and they're just, yeah. I can't say that, the wives are also pretty rad, and they're just like defending their home, and
except
it's just
it turns out
fun
that
and
they're
neat.
The invaders.
Yeah.
Like it
aren't
turns
they
out,
always?
It turns out they're the bad guys, maybe. So that one was good. I liked it. I liked the whole aesthetic of like these farmers who just have like, I don't know what to call them, giant robot suits in their like
mechas.
Barns. Yeah, they're mechas in their barns. Sucker of Souls. This
that
one's about Dracula. I mean,
like in terms of this conversation, Dracula is Nagi.
Yes, right? This is true.
But
Gary does shoot him in the genital region.
Yes.
Yes. So there is, that is like the one point where I feel like a woman is at least adjacent to committing sexual violence across this whole series.
Yes. But also, like, it didn't feel gross. You know what I mean? Like, Dracula wasn't sexualized. He wasn't like a hot guy, you know? And yeah. After watching so many shorts of just like women getting brutally murdered or abused, like I noticed that in the Dracula one, like I noticed it, but I was so relieved it wasn't against the woman that at that point I was like, whew, okay, for this one I can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like as a creator, I wouldn't want whoever is, you know, reading, watching, whatever it is, my content, to feel relieved that something is not going to be awful in that way.
Yeah, it is still violent, but I guess
it's not sexual violence, right?
Yeah, it's not sexual violence.
And compared to the other ones, a lot of the violence against women, at least two of them are implied to have been violence against sex workers.
Yes.
Right? The Witness, there's some implication there. And then Good Hunting, she's a sex worker.
Yeah, the only person in Sucker of Souls that dies is the grad student, which, as a grad student myself, I
feel
mean,
like, what I a relief.
Like yeah, I feel like that's fine. Dracula wants to fly in here and kill me. I would not resist. Yeah, I mean, and then there's the ending implies that they're going to die, but it's not shown.
Yes, like they discover a cave of vampires and it ends just like all the other ones end on like a gotcha moment. But yeah.
Yeah. So that one's fine. I liked it. I like Gary a lot, who gave me big gay vibes. she ruled. And I like that as cats. Like, what more can you ask for? Vampires,
exactly.
Cats.
That was a funny scene.
Gary. What more can you ask for? When the yogurt took over.
I don't know what to say about that one.
I mean, okay, it was voiced by Maurice LaMarche, who voices Pinky, or who voices Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was just like, I just wanted to hear more of his voice, because you gotta love his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, it's just kind of really
it's
stupid.
It's dumb, yeah.
It's kind of following a well-worn fantasy or sci-fi trope of like, what if we're not actually the smartest species on Earth? And Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy did dolphins and
spoilers, you know. I haven't read that yet.
Okay, whatever. It comes up in like the first 100 pages, but sure.
Okay.
But you know, are you? How can I spoil a 50-year-old book?
I was being that's like a goof.
That's like spoiling.
I'm goofing around. I'm being like silly being because like we're talking about yogurt.
Hamlet dies at the end of
what?
Hamlet.
Why would you spoil that for me?
Yeah, I mean,
Chloe.
I'm sorry.
Let's move anyway, on to the next one.
That's the yogurt. Beyond the Aquila Rift. This one.
This one is the one I wanted to mention as well.
This is the one. This is the reason why I watched it was because I read a post on Reddit of someone being like, you gotta watch Beyond the Aquila Rift. It's a really good adaptation of the short story by Alistair Reynolds. And I watched it. And I did not like it very much.
You didn't like the part where the guy starts choking the woman after they slept together?
Yeah. And then,
why
like,
not?
I feel like the ending is just so, like, okay, so the whole point of this is that the ship basically gets hopelessly off course due to a routing error or whatever. And they're in suspended animation and the captain wakes up and he meets an old flame of his, Greta, and they start hooking up. And then he starts learning that, like, oh, this might be a simulation. And he says, like, Greta, you're not really Greta, are you? And then it's revealed that Greta is actually this kind of like spider lady. And this whole place
which is a win.
Like, right? Like, for, at least as long as you're not like arachnophobic. But like, this whole thing is like her nest. And she's been like repeatedly trying to get him acclimated. And then every time he starts freaking out, and then she like kind of resets his memory and tries again. I guess my big problem, well, violence against women again, like that is the biggest problem. But like, also at the end, I feel like Greta is good. Like the
yes.
alien, the arachnid alien Greta.
That's
is
what's
good.
Implied there.
But it's trying its very best to make you think that she's bad.
Exactly. And not only that, the sex scene is like 5 minutes long, bro.
I know. It's like, this is a 17-minute short.
Because
do we really have to
seven
spend
of those were them like...
Yes. Boning.
You know, boning. And it was like... At some point, they're talking, and they're both in just the underwear, nothing
yeah.
on top. And, like, for a guy, that's a different type of vulnerable than for a woman to be with only, like, the bottoms and not the bra or whatever.
Right.
So already there's
female-presenting nipples.
There's a... Not some, there's a lot. I feel like she's naked most of the time.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know. It's just, like... It was just choices that they made, and it makes me not trust them at all to tell a good story. Because the whole time, I'm bracing for whatever violent thing they're going to do next. And I feel like I'm, like, overdoing it, right? Like, I usually don't react like this. I mean, on yeah. this podcast, I feel like I reacted like this a lot. But because this is, like, the platform where we discuss this stuff and where we actually, like, talk about it and complain or, like, celebrate a thing, right? But, like, in real life, I tend not to talk about this sort of stuff.
Right.
You know me. I'm usually very, like, argumentative.
No way.
But this one just made me so angry. It's, yeah, it was just, like, gross. I didn't like that at some point he started, first of all, he, like, flung her at a wall.
Yeah.
And then he started yelling right in her face and choking her.
Yep.
And... By that point, we knew something was wrong, right? But we didn't yeah. know that she wasn't real, that wasn't really her. So as a viewer, you see this, he's a really big guy.
Yeah.
We just see this guy like freaking out and then hitting his ex against the wall, choking her and yelling at her. And we like, yeah, it's a hopeless situation. He doesn't know what's happening. Everything is weird. But like... By that point, we don't know what the thing is, right? He is not the good guy here. So, like, at that point of the story to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know. As you said, like, she legitimately seemed to be, like, easing their pain. Because he freaks out when he wakes up for real.
Yep.
So, like, it's just, like, such a gray area. I don't know. She's probably evil because she's feeding off of them. But, like, she's doing it humanely? I don't know.
Yeah, it's really unclear. I guess it's supposed to be ambiguous, but the ending clearly wants you to think that she's bad because it shows this like very sinister looking nest that she's made, and like he's all emaciated and gross looking.
His crew is dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, for all we know, she's actually just trying to keep him alive.
Yeah, we just don't know. But like, that scene felt disgusting to me.
I feel like I read that in the original short story, it was a bit more, I don't know, even-handed in how it presented Greta.
Probably, but I feel like this, like, at least the first season, I haven't seen the other two seasons, but like, there's very clearly a leaning type of storytelling here that the writer, who mostly oversaw this, prefers.
Definitely. Okay, so that's Beyond the Aquila Rift, which is not my favorite, but it is actually probably the best of these, is how I'd put it.
Yeah.
I think it's the most interesting of the stories.
I think so too, yeah.
I don't know if that's saying much, because I didn't much care for most of them. I don't want to be a bummer. Next up is Good Hunting.
I feel like we should devote just a little bit more time to it.
Oh, okay. Beyond the Aquila Rift. Okay, what are your other thoughts?
No. Good Hunting.
Oh, Good Hunting. Yes.
Because we talked about it earlier, but...
So, this is about a fox spirit and her daughter, and then a hunter named Liang and his father, and Liang's father kills the mom fox spirit, and then the daughter Yan, I don't know, and Liang become friends.
Because he, like, doesn't rat her out to his dad.
And this is in China, but it's like steampunk colonialism China. So as the British move in, they start bringing lots of like steampunk robotics with them, and Liang becomes like an expert in robotics while Yan basically loses her magic and can't turn into a fox anymore.
And becomes a sex worker
and gets abused and sexually assaulted, and all this other awful stuff happens to her at the hands of the British. And then she gets tortured.
On screen, like,
yes,
animated.
And drugged and turned into a cyborg sex toy. Thanks for that. Love, Death, and Robots. And then Liang builds her a body that is able to morph into a fox spirit, like a robot fox. And then she goes hunting to hurt Englishmen who are abusing Chinese women.
And that also ends on a woman about to get attacked.
Yes. And
they do take the time to animate the men yanking the dress off of her so that she is undressed.
Right. And again, we don't get to see a lot of the violence against the men. There's a much more focus, a lot more time devoted to the violence against women.
So the violence against women is on screen.
Yes.
The violence towards men is always implied and off screen.
Yes.
Even when she like rips the guy's face open, it cuts away and we don't see what she does. We just, like, we know what happens because it cuts away. And then, like, they actually show them chopping her up.
Yeah.
Like, they show it.
Yep.
The other thing that kind of bothered me is this one could have been... this one was almost on par with The Rift for me. Because it was just, like, an interesting story of, like, industrialization, colonizing, you know, all of that sort of... Like, that's interesting. To show it in such a way.
Yeah.
But they could have made it Liang's story or Yan's story, but they made it her story through him. And she is always running to him for help. Or she's always helpless in this story.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that either. It's so tone deaf. Literally, she's always helpless. And she talks about it every single time she goes to him for help.
Yeah.
She makes sure to mention, I am helpless. And you're going to help me, and then I'll be able to not be helpless as much as I was before. But she still remains helpless. I did not like that.
Until the end, but then we don't get to see her
actually. We don't get to see her not be helpless. We just see another helpless woman. And then it's implied that she saves her and starts ripping the dudes apart. Whatever, like, we don't even see that. It's just she shows up on screen.
Yep.
And then it cuts away. That's it.
Yep. Okay. So, Good Hunting. Yeah, and okay, I feel like that's going to be a common theme with a lot of these. We're about halfway done, but I feel like it's interesting. They did some really interesting stuff with it, and then they took it in these really nasty, awful directions that are not great. And it's just disappointing.
Yes, it was beautiful, right? Yeah. It had a lot of substance to it. They could have used a lot of the stuff from what they were trying to, you know, exemplify in this short story.
Yeah.
And then they just decided to do the worst thing they could. Like, technically, it was supposed to be a story about how tradition gets stifled, right? Yeah. Because the more technology and, like, engineered progress there is, the less magic she had.
Yeah.
That's why she could no longer transform. Everything was automated and it was like magic was gone, right? So that's what the story is about. It was about her trying to regain that magic. There's a new type of magic.
Yeah.
Because that's what it ends on. It's like a fusion of traditional and futuristic. But that's not what the story ended up being.
Yeah.
I think it still wants us to see that there. But no, that's not what we're going to take away from this story. No matter like how hard they try to get us to, because they didn't try that hard at all. They just wanted to abuse a woman.
Yep.
And like when they were children, right? When her mother got killed.
Yeah.
She was already nude, like full frontal nude.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't dig this show.
Yeah. Okay.
It's gross.
Okay.
That's the next one.
The dump. This one's just kind of meh.
It's
about sentient garbage, and the guy befriends it and then uses it to protect the garbage that he lives in. It's fine.
There's just like a porn mag in there.
Yeah. The whole thing of it is that the guy is friends with garbage. That's like the story.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, Shapeshifters. This is about werewolves that are in the U.S. military in Afghanistan.
It was weird. I didn't know what to take from it.
I thought this one, at least it was doing something interesting. Like this, it's a very weird story that I kind of like the idea of, like, what if they're, you know, because it makes sense. Like, if werewolves were real, you know, one of the first things that, like, culturally people would do would be like, can we use them for military? Because that's like everything with, like, the way humanity works.
Yeah.
The moment we have anything that's advantage, we're like, how can we use this militarily, right? And so, like, it makes sense. Like, if we knew werewolves were real, we'd be like, yeah, they make good soldiers. What didn't make sense to me was why everyone hated them so much. It's like, these guys are awesome. Like, they're super, you know, good at what they do, and they save a bunch of people.
A werewolf?
They save a bunch of people's lives, and everyone's just being like, oh, look at the dogs over there. And
yeah,
it's just like, I guess I can understand that discrimination doesn't make sense, but like, I don't know. It just, it's fine. And then there's the big fight with the Taliban werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's fine.
Here's the thing. Like, the war wasn't over at that point.
Yeah.
So I didn't like watching it just because it felt a little insensitive.
Yeah.
I feel like especially at that time, like, it was being talked about a lot again after we got desensitized to it, because it's been going on for like
say
a million
that word
years.
Again. Try that word. There
yeah,
you
I,
go.
Stop bullying me. I have an accent. But like after, like, sorry to admit it, but most people like stopped caring about it because it's been going on for 20 years.
Yeah.
But around that time, it was starting to like be talked about again because we were trying to get out of there.
Right.
And for that to release and then like, once again, just like, I don't know, kind of like tone deaf. But I also didn't have that much to say about it. Like, it was cool, like the way it was animated. It was whatever, you know?
It was good animation. I don't know, it was fine. We talked about Helping Hand, Fish Night we talked about, Lucky 13.
I will be honest, I don't remember it, and I didn't rewatch it. I have no idea what it is.
The thing is, the woman has a ship that is number 13. It's supposed to be unlucky, but she actually finds the ship to be lucky. They get shot down, but then the ship, I guess, kind of saves the day in a sense. And then she talks about how she wishes she could have the ship for one more mission. It's just like, this woman really wants to to hook up with her ship. It's just like, it's just like, let this woman have sex with her ship. Sorry.
Oh my god.
Not really. Okay, but it's just like, I don't know. It's fine. It's not doing anything unique. It's just what it is. I don't have anything to add there. At least, like, there's no violence. I guess they get shot down, but, like, it isn't graphic violence against her, and she survives at the end, and, like, I don't know. It's, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminds me of, like, Halo or something. It's just, like, Halo.
Yeah, it's just a thing. I honestly don't remember it.
Okay,
Zima Even Blue. As you're seeing it.
We're going on. Zima Blue. This one is good. I like this one.
It's interesting, yeah.
I don't like the message of it at the end.
It, like, a lot of it does get lost on me near the end, I'll be honest.
Okay, so, like, Zima Blue is this artist, and he makes all these works that are larger and larger, and, like, some are like, galaxy-spanning. Like, he'll paint, like, an entire portion of the night sky. And then this artist, Claire, goes to meet him. It's the first interview he's done in, like, 100 years. And he reveals that he was never human. He was a pool-cleaning android who eventually got upgraded to the point of sentience. And he just wants to go back to cleaning pools, and so he casts off his humanoid android body.
And becomes a pool-cleaning little robot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess the message is like, oh, I was unfulfilled, and I could never find fulfillment the way I could when I just cleaned the pool. And it's just like, mm-hmm. I guess the message here is that, like, you can find fulfillment in very simple things, but it just seems very, I don't know.
It has a lot to do with kind of finding oneself, or even understanding how people work, and, you know, changing and still being tied down to, like, the essence of what you are.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that. There's the artist's journey of, like, our artists. Like, how many artists are there throughout history that were just deeply unhappy?
Yeah.
And I think it has a lot to do with, like, those sort of things put together. But once again, like, it was just beautiful to look at. This is truly, like, a very pretty one.
Yes. The art is spectacular. It was done by, okay, the group that didn't do any of the other ones for this volume. I'm looking at what else they did. They made promotional cinematics for League of Legends. Oh, they worked on Gorilla's music videos. That makes sense. Okay, can see that. Anyways, I like Zima Blue. I would put in the top five.
Yes, it wasn't problematic.
It's one of the few ones with zero violence in it.
Yes.
Which I appreciate after all these other ones. Blind Spot. This one, okay, have you watched that cyberpunk anime that is very popular on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
This one has a very similar vibe. This one is about, like, a group of cyborgs who need to steal this microchip. They have to pull this heist. And it's just basically this whole, like, big fight.
They just fight.
And then at the end, everyone's dead except for the rookie. But then they reveal that, like, actually they downloaded all their brains so that they can all get new cyborg bodies, I guess. It's fine. It's just cool animation. And there is violence against a woman, but whatever. There's violence against everyone, so this one's not particularly bad.
This one, yeah, like, this one didn't feel like it was focused on how she gets hurt. Yeah,
and everyone else dies in arguably even worse ways. So, so it's fine. Any other thoughts on Blind Spot?
I barely remember it. Nope.
Ice Age, we mentioned briefly. This is actually an episode of Simpsons did something very similar, but this couple moves in, they find their freezer has, like, a civilization developing in it, but it develops really quickly. But then they get into a nuclear war, but then they find peace, and then they, like, reach the singularity, I guess, and disappear, and they're going to clean the fridge out, but then they discover that, like, oh, it's starting over.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. It's got Topher Grace in it, and I always like Topher Grace.
Yeah, and it's pretty.
Yeah, it's fine. It's nothing. It's just a goof.
this next one,
the next one, Speed Your Goofs, alternate history.
Don't know how to unpack.
It's an ad, quote unquote, for like an alternative history app where you can just like look at like how history would play out. And I guess it's just trying to show increasingly goofy ideas of how like Hitler could have died.
Like, let's just kill Hitler in a bunch of different stupid ways.
Yeah, like what if Hitler got consumed in a thing of Jello? I don't know. It's just like,
okay, so a lot of naked women too.
Yeah,
weirdly.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, if you're going to show like what would happen if you killed Hitler, I don't know. Like, why is it presented? I'm trying to think how to put this. I don't know. It's too slapstick for what it is. Mm-hmm. I guess is my problem. Like, that none of the consequences really mean anything because they show everything that happens after. But like every single time, it's just like, and someone walked on the moon and this world war happened anyway. And it's just like, it's kind of boring because the same things happen every time. But the whole joke is like one of the times, you know, it's a German who walks on the moon instead. And another time it's like, I don't know, a sentient rat who walks on the, I don't remember what the deal was, but it's just like, if you're going to show like the consequences of like a time travel paradox or whatever, show like actual consequences, not the same events, but with like a different person substituted in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's
weird. There's like a lot of, like, there was one history where they just like talked about how like prostitutes kill him.
Yeah. Sex workers.
No, like they say prostitutes kill him. Well, and it's like, yeah. It feels gross to even use that word. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it was made in 2019. Like, that's not a very well-aged word.
Yeah.
And, like, it's startling every time that a media, like a movie or whatever, uses it, right? A lot of times people use it because it does, like, evoke that, like, reaction.
Yeah.
But I didn't like that they used that specifically. And, like, there's more to it, but it's, like, racial, and I don't even want to start that conversation.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that. No. But it's, like, it was so stupid. Whatever.
It was really stupid. Okay, and finally, the Secret War, which is basically like Red Army decided to summon a bunch of demons to fight for them, but they lost control of the ritual,
it wasn't the Red Army. It was the Secret Police.
Okay, the Secret Police. Sorry.
No, it's so stupid. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
that one was just nasty to watch.
Okay, this came out in 2019, so like we had several years of Stranger Things at this point, which I feel like does the whole like
occult demon
thing. Russian influence.
Yeah,
it's just like nothing it does is particularly unique, and I don't know, like, again, just the gratuitous violence against a woman, and then like,
and it was out of nowhere. They could have had like a, I don't know, like a bear there, you know, because bears are Russian too, right? They could have had a bear sacrificed. They had very graphically strung up a dead woman.
Yep.
It's, I don't know. It was just nasty.
It was.
And the other thing is, like, they made the guy who supposedly was in charge of this botched Satanism exorcism attempt, like, be very deformed. Which also was like, oh, yikes.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of, not great. So that's volume one of Love, Death, and Robots.
Have you watched the second and third season of it?
No.
I've
watched like a couple of them.
Yeah. When they announced the second one, at that point, like, I was so grossed out, I didn't even like for an instant consider watching it. So I'm curious if it gets better or not. But I don't think I'll be putting in the time to watch it because I do not trust the writers of this series.
Yeah. I'm trying to see which ones of these I've watched.
They look very beautiful. Like, you know, because Netflix now plays the thing when you scroll over it.
Yeah.
When it started playing, like, visually stunning.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, now I'm torn because I want to check it out because of the art. But, like, I just remember feeling sick after watching it. And, like, that's not a good feeling to have.
Yeah. The second, okay. Apparently, the second season, Polygon has said it's less violent and more mature than its predecessor, trading in gratuitous nudity and gore for poignant storytelling.
Okay, so it wasn't just me as a singular person watching this who was like, this is disgusting.
But then Volume 3, on the other hand, is the least accessible of the three seasons, especially if you aren't interested in overabundance of gory violence. So they return to form.
Okay. Oh, God. I'm going to check what it is on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know, this won a bunch of awards, too.
It won so many awards. Wasn't it like 15 or something?
The Witness won multiple Emmys.
Gross. Disgusting.
Good Hunting won an Emmy.
Yeah, the ones we criticized the most, yeah.
Sucker of Souls won an Emmy.
That one is fine.
yeah. Jeez. Okay.
I mean, the grades are high on Rotten Tomatoes. Season 1 is 77%.
Yeah.
It does not deserve 77%. A 92 audience score.
I feel like there's a lot of self-selection when it comes to audience score, though. I never trust it.
I've literally never in my life went on the site to look at anything to decide if I want to watch a movie or not.
Yeah.
I feel like I've only gone onto it after I watched something particularly awful, and I wanted to know if others agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Any you. Final thoughts, I guess?
Only that the listeners have seen a side of me that I'm not proud of.
Yeah, this wasn't really about queer media. There was one.
We use it as an excuse for, like, Sunny's Edge.
Yeah, Sunny's Edge, like, I guess, is the excuse, but we wanted to talk about this because Val has strong opinions.
We didn't even talk about Sunny's Edge, actually. Like, well, the story is about her getting, like, violently sexually assaulted.
Yes.
And then her body being so badly destroyed that she had to basically be. Like, her consciousness had to be moved to a monster. Like, it starts off. It's, ugh. I have no words. I'm just angry again.
Okay. On that note, I think that's a good time to wrap up. Val being frustrated and angry. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Just want to mention our pluggables. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest are at InMediaLez. Our website is InMediaLez.com. We have a subreddit r/InMediaLez. You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. And our Tumblr is...
ThePodInMediaLez.tumblr.com.
Thank you, because I can never remember that, even though I am now...
Me neither. Fun fact.
I am now officially a Tumblr user.
You are officially a Tumblr user. You've made your own Tumblr and everything.
I have a Tumblr. I went on there and I looked at Baru Cormorant fan art today, because nice. That's what I did with
that
my
is
day.
What I occasionally do.
Yes,
every once in a while when we when I reread any of the ancillary books, I will go on there and go into the tag, and it's just the same 50 posts. They never change, but at this point it's nostalgic to go back on
it's
on that tag.
It's comfort tags.
But anyway, so, like, yeah, I also don't remember what it's called. Every single time you ask me for it, I'm frantically right before opening the app and going to it so I can see what the URL is.
And if anyone has any tips on using Tumblr or who to follow, please let me know, because Valve won't tell me.
Hey, I explained a lot to you.
She won't tell me.
Also, if you have thoughts on this awful show... like, complain about it with me. Go on our Tumblr. I'll start a conversation there. I'll be vocal. I'll argue. So very obviously, we're all going to be on the same side of the argument.
Of course.
But come rant about it with me.
Yeah.
Like, I'll even maybe invite Chloe in on it.
If I can figure out how Tumblr works. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
And we'll see you in the next one.
And God bless you.